Okay, hello, Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, Inc. Welcome, 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 welcome to the lunch. We're so, so very glad that you're here. We actually have a pretty packed agenda time for this lunch. We've planned some wonderful things for you, so I'm just going to let you know as far as a quick little heads up for what to expect. So first of all, if you could just simply put your lunch ticket somewhere out in front of you, the restaurant folks will pick that up. What we'll be doing is we'll be passing around the mic, and the volunteers will assist us. What we ask you to do, just simply because we have so many things going on, is if you could be so kind as to say your name, perhaps your guide dog's name, or if you do not have a guide dog, that's fine. And if you want to say your city or the school your dog is from, that would be super. Right after introductions, we are going to have our speaker via the telephone. And then what we'll be doing then is having raffle prizes. So what I want to do is let you know just a couple of two big raffle prizes that are very cool. So one is a dog bed that is donated by Guide Dogs of America. A second big prize is a pair of those wonderful booties donated by Guide Dogs of America. So those are going to be our last two prizes. Then we have multiple other prizes from donations from the wonderful guide dog reps that are here. And we even have a rep from a school remote that wants to call in. So as you can see, we have a pretty packed time. So I am going to get us started with introductions. So we'll do the few of the folks here up at the table. And then what we'll do is then ask the volunteer to come and take the mic and run it around. So my name is Alice Turner. I am your new president of Golden State Guide Dog Handlers. And Charlene.
My name is Charlene Ornelas, and I have Shia from GDA. I'm Bita Zawi, I'm the treasurer.
Would you like to introduce
yourself?
I'm chewing lettuce.
I'm Pamela Metz. I'm waiting. My guide dog's name is question mark because I haven't got it yet. And I have a slice down in the bag. So you guys have a wonderful lunch.
Hi, I'm Paul Shane, the CEO of CBCB. No guide dog presently.
Patty, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Patty Robitaille. I'm an outreach for Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Robert Wendt, and I don't have a guide dog except when the dog has to go out.
I'm Aisha McKinney-Wendt. I have a lab. His name is Bridger. And I also am a outreach alumni rep for Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Jim Chamberlain, Glendale Burbank Chapter. Fundraiser chair. No guide dog as of yet.
My name is Lynn Coates. I have guide dog Kendall from Guide Dogs of America.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Rosa Gomez, and I'm here actually with my sixth dog, Dala. And she graduated last Saturday, so she's a weekend of training, and she's from Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Vivian Younger, and I have Alani, and I trained with her at Guide Dogs of America. She's my seventh dog.
Would you ladies like to introduce yourself? Oh, yeah, sure. I'll start with you.
Hi, this is Leslie Tome, and I have a guide, Custer. He's a yellow lab from GDB.
Hey everybody, it's Chelsea White with the Seeing Eye, and I have a German Shepherd from the Seeing Eye named Hannah.
Good afternoon, my name is Penny Valdovinos. I'm from Bakersfield. I have a guide dog from the Seeing Eye, and his name is Earl.
Hi everybody, my name is Eva Hendrickson. I'm from Bakersfield, and I'm a member of the charter there.
Thank you. Would you like to introduce yourself? Hi,
I'm Annie Doyle from Encino, and I'm here with my Guiding Eyes dog, Kenneth.
Thank you. Would you guys like to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Melissa Smith. I'm a field representative with Guiding Eyes for the Blind, and I'm based in Denver, Colorado.
Hi, I'm Mike Lana Padilla. I'm a guide dog instructor and O&M specialist at Guide Dogs of the Desert.
Hi, my name is Noah. I'm an apprentice guide dog instructor and an O&M specialist with Guide Dogs of the Desert.
This is Frank Welty. My guide dog's name is Jeep, so I'm the only blind guy in California who gets to legally drive a Jeep. And Jeep is, and I are graduates of Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Would you like to introduce yourself? Okay. Susan?
I have a copy with
you. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes.
Okay. And you can pass it to the manager.
My name is Susan Glass. I'm from the Silicon Valley, and I'm here with Omni, my yellow lab guide from GDB.
Hi, my name is Peggy Rue, and I was a speaker for the dog and cat first aid and CPR class earlier. And if anybody needs information on the class or my pet food, please let me know. Thanks for letting me come.
Linda, would you like to introduce yourself?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Linda Perel, and I'm here with my guide, Tamar, who's a black and brindle lab. She's 5 1/2 years old. She's from Guide Dogs for the Blind.
Hello, everybody. I'm Nellie Emerson, and I am here with Atticus, a male German Shepherd from Seeing Eye.
Hello, everyone. My name is Dee Dee Mann, and I have Guide Dog Geyser from Guide Dog School of America.
I'm John Vandervoort with Golden Retriever Guide Dog Chase, C-H-A-C-E, no S, not a bankster, from San Jose.
Thank you.
Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Andy Crusoe, formerly of Guide Dogs of America, and I'm a volunteer now, and I have my German Shepherd career change at home. West, and I am 6 days into raising a guide dog, a German Shepherd guide dog puppy. So I'm also here with Sarah Ormany, who's an admissions person at GDA, and Sean Childs, who's an instructor there.
I think we missed. Who did I miss? I think. No, we missed somebody here. We missed the Giants, San Francisco Giants fan. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, thank you. Hello, my name is David. I'm with the San Francisco chapter and a member of the new guide dog organization, Golden State Guide Dog Handlers of California.
Thank you.
And my dog's name is Rolo.
Did I forget you? I was Yeah, I'm so sorry.
My name is Tatiana. I'm with the Greater Los Angeles chapter, and I have my guide dog, Panda. She's from the Seeing Eye.
I'm Gina, and my dog's name is Honeydew, from GD San Rafael. She's 4 years old. Thank
you. And did you introduce yourself?
You did.
No, I didn't. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. Hi, I'm Linda O'Neill, and I am from ACB Capital Chapter, and I'm with my black lab, Mara Lee, who is from Guide Dogs for the Blind San Rafael. She is my sixth dog, and I've been with all of my dogs combined for 49 years.
Okay, thank you very much. So what we're going to do right now, and we have a speaker. Can I get folks' attention for a moment? We have a speaker who is joining us from Chicago. His name is Mike Marlin. And Vita's going to do a brief introduction. And then Ken Metz is going to set it up for he can actually speak to us remotely.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mike Marlin is the director of the California Braille and Talking Book Library. He has served Northern Californians for the past 10 years. And Mike, please forgive us. We're going to skip a little bit here because we have a full agenda. Since 2013, Mike has traveled extensively with his first yellow lab, Vivaldi. And this is very apropos for Mike because he is a musician. So that worked out really well. So thank you for joining us today, Mike.
All right. Go ahead and give it a shout, Mike. Let's see how you're coming through.
Okay. Bing.
There you go.
All right. Now, well, thank you for that introduction that I didn't hear, but I trust accurate. So I, just coming off of talking about the fiscal year 18 budget for the American Library Association and strategic priorities, so I'm really glad to be able to talk about guide dogs now. And can you guys can hear me okay, correct?
You want it louder?
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay, try now.
Okay. There. Okay, so anyway, here I go. I'm going to give my presentation. First of all, thank you so much to Alice for inviting me to speak about some of my adventures with Vivaldi. And I hope that I will be at least as interesting to you speak at the event. Adventure is an app theme.
Mike, let me ask you a question. Could you try with the handset for a second instead of the speakerphone? Please. I just want to see if it makes a difference because you're sort of fading in and out.
Okay, just a sec.
All right, I'm sorry.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Sorry about that. I was trying to be hands-free so I could read, but I will find an alternate method. Shall I start over?
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. First of all, thanks so much to Alice for inviting me to speak about some of my adventures with Vivaldi, and I hope that this will be as interesting as some previous speakers I've listened to while sitting at this in the audience at this very event. Passport to Adventure is an apt theme, as I know that the guide dog lifestyle and adventure go hand in hand. Some of you may know me or have spoken to me at CCB meetings or a convention or by phone at the library. And for those of you guide handlers I don't know, or haven't met, well, hello. Secondly, it is true that I am a librarian, and whenever possible, I attempt to catalog and classify the world around me. We librarians are searchers for information. weighing precision versus recall. In other words, how to narrow down results to what is relevant, rather than the quantity of the results from which to choose. Let me give you a reverse example. Vivaldi, and likely most of your guides, prefer recall to precision. In other words, the greatest amount of kibbles of peanut or peanut butter, rather than a teaspoon of shaved bone organic peanut butter truffle and a dollop of minced mint, lamb, and rice kibble. I, however, would prefer to retrieve a short list of 10 science fiction titles featuring a strong canine protagonist written by women of color between 1985 and 2005, rather than sift through 100 books about dogs. You get the picture. We have committees on appointments, committees on organization, committees on committees. Librarians work hard to catalog, develop collections, provide information, but like anyone, we like to let loose at the end of the day and have fun. That's partly why Vivaldi's Facebook persona, which I humbly serve as his secretary on his behalf, is Guide Dog Extraordinaire, Canine Librarian. Vivaldi, too, has his own narrative about our travels, a catalog, or a dogalog, if you will. Before I underwent the transformation from Citizen Kane to Guide Handler, I got around just fine with help from my memory, accessible GPS, and the kindness of strangers. But I was perhaps a tad more cautious and less adventurous and spontaneous about going to new places. Vivaldi changed my perspective with an air of safety and confidence in his approach, helping to pave our way so that anything and everywhere was ripe for exploration. After some great experiences and even a few mishaps, we have become a great team. Like most of you, Vivaldi and I have ridden in planes, trains, subways, buses, cable cars, escalators, elevators, people movers, and more. Over the past 4 years, we have traveled stateside to various California cities, parks, beaches, domestically to Salem, Oregon, Chicago, Philadelphia, D.C., Las Vegas, Boston, Orlando, Atlanta, Louisville, Columbus, and internationally, we've been on a whirlwind trip for business and pleasure to France, to meetings in Leipzig and a tour around Berlin and Germany, and Oslo, Norway, and Copenhagen, Denmark, and this coming summer, Wrocław in Poland. I have not calculated the number of miles, but rather savory experience. There are, of course, protocols and procedures for international travel, including advanced research about laws and regulations in destination countries, veterinary visits and USDA certifications, and in the beginning, of course, the worry that there is no possible way your guide can hold it in for 12 or more hour flight. The whole relief area conundrum applies domestically as well, as I'm sure I don't need to tell many of you. Could be an entire different talk. I do have one observation, and that is my advice, and some may feel differently, not to waste time with indoor relief areas and airports. AstroTurf does not get dogs in the mood, and I've stood by waiting with other service dog handlers impatiently while our dogs turn up their noses or maybe roll their eyes. Well, I'll applaud the trend. Hopefully indoor planters will start using sand or gravel or something more organic. Oh, I regret. One of my first aha moments about the utter stability and non-distractibility, Vivaldi's utter stability and non-distractibility happened, and then I suspect it's true for many of you as well, with all the accomplished guides, took place in 2013 in the Oregonian capital of Salem.
We adjourned the meeting at the state capitol, walked outside, just in time for a barrage of cannon shots to commemorate some Oregonian historical event. Devani guided me down the street without flinching once, as my confused companions and I wondered why we were suddenly under attack. I mention this example in case any of you, like me, rely on your hearing to aid with awareness for navigation and know how distracting it can be to contend with loud noises, let alone cannon fire. Lobby has guided me past some deafening machinery, and I trust him to steer clear of danger, which, as I will explain shortly, is now ingrained in me. In the summer of 2014, my wife Debbie and I, along with Vivaldi and her golden retriever medical alert service dog Watcher, traveled to France for a 3-week sojourn. Deb had lived in France in the 1980s and speaks nearly fluent French, whereas I could understand somewhat but barely speak it. Despite the minimal language barrier, in Paris, we encountered many challenges. One was the sheer narrowness of some sidewalks, so that one has to shuffle behind one's guide in order to keep from both of us tipping over into the traffic. Vivaldi guided me like a champion, although it was a bit harrowing. More seriously, the laws about access for service dogs are supportive and very clear in France, but many shops and restaurants were quite hostile, including some that would not admit us. One host flatly refused entrance, and when we advised him that he was breaking the law, he smiled and said, "I know that, but too bad." Another issue that we encountered were the occasions that involved snarling and barking dogs at open-air cafes lunging at our dogs as they calmly guided us down the street. Nonetheless, we had many wonderful and gracious restaurateurs, museum and shop owners treating us with respect and kindness, like the staff at the Louvre who came out to the back of the long queue and guided us around the long lines and into the entrance, and specifically mentioned a tactile exhibit of statues of Greek and Roman deities. And Vivaldi and I made it all the way to the top of the Eiffel Tower without a hitch. But the disrespectful attitudes of some Parisians, confirmed when I later met blind colleagues from France with guide dogs, made me wary and careful. We went by train down to Biarritz in the southeast coast on the Atlantic Ocean, and this is where I was served a huge piece of humble pie. One evening, after an amazing meal of the freshest and best mussels I've ever eaten, we were headed down to the beach to let the dogs jump the waves and run a little in the sand, and Valdi and I were following behind Deb and Watcher. There were quite a few people and families out on the stone plaza enjoying the warm weather when first Deb and then Vivaldi abruptly stopped. With my very limited, very partial sight, it looked like we were just a few paces from the beach. As Deb, 3 steps to my right, turned to tell me about the stairs down to the beach, I took a step forward and plummeted over a 6-foot retaining concrete wall onto the sand, yanking Vivaldi behind me, much to his surprise. Yeah. Deb watched with both horror and amusement as Vivaldi and I seemed to float downward over the wall in slow motion. I landed on my keister in a lot of pain, and I was immediately surrounded by concerned people who had watched me fall over the wall. Luckily, I ended up only badly spraining my right leg, nothing worse, and Vivaldi, who had landed on his feet, was okay and was checked out by the local vet just to be sure. I purchased an adjustable metal cane from a pharmacy and limped along over the next several days, which I managed to enjoy despite being hobbled. This really brought home the lesson, and I'm sure you all know this, trust your dog.
other highlights of France included hiking up a steep hill to Draguignan, in other words, Dragon Town, to chase dragons, of course, including carvings and statues. The rest of the trip, from a canine accessibility perspective, was fairly uneventful, although at the French Mediterranean, sunbathers complained about our service dogs and angrily pointed to the no dogs on the beach signs. During a thunder and lightning storm, we visited Carcassonne, a medieval castle in the Avignon region. In Old Lyon, we walked through the ruins of a churchyard from the Middle Ages. Valdi expertly guided me around the top of the Lyon Cathedral, the Basilica de Fouvrier, where one could see and hear the confluence of the Rhone and Seine rivers. And, of course, the ubiquitous crepe stands throughout France were Vivaldi's favorite aromatic locations. In 2015, our committee met at the German Library for the Blind in Leipzig, Germany, a quaint town known for the St. Nicholas Church, where J.S. Bach is probably buried, and St. Thomas Church, where Vivaldi and I enjoyed a delightful organ recital on the huge floor-to-ceiling pipe organ. Mm. We also attended the Opera House to attend a ballet accompanied by a subset of the world-famous Leipzig Orchestra, but also to make sure to get a photo of Vivaldi at the opera. In fact, although photography is not my forte, and I usually get a stranger to either take a photo or tell me if I'm pointing in a direction, since the beginning, I've felt that Vivaldi must be photographed in all and as many musical contexts as possible. I have photos of him posing in front of a violin repair shop and a banjo museum in Oklahoma City, with percussion instruments at the World Music Festival in Grass Valley, California, playing piano at a music school in Washington, D.C., and one of my favorite lines, sorry about this in advance, is to mention his favorite symphony that he is writing now, the Four Seasonings.
Oh.
Sorry. I experienced my first authentic German street vendor sausage, and apparently so did Vivaldi when I tripped over a cobblestone and a portion of sausage and bun was pried loose. I call that puppy magic. One memorable aspect occurred on my way from San Francisco to Leipzig. After landing at the Frankfurt airport to change planes, a very friendly staff person met us to check our papers, which sometimes happens and sometimes doesn't. But please, if you travel internationally, always have them on you. And then proceeded to the tarmac, where she took us in a private van for a half mile to where the next plane was parked. On the way, she stopped so Vivaldi could hop out in the snow and do his business. To me, that was first-class service. Getting around in Leipzig when I was with colleagues was great, and a little more difficult solo as I didn't have GPS data for the German region. But when I did get lost, I could always orient my way back to my hotel, a block from the main train station, therefore findable. We went to Berlin on train for a day to Berlin to see the Brandenburg Gate and other attractions, and overall it was a super great trip. In early 2016, Vivaldi and I flew to Oslo, Norway for the LPD meetings, this time with my adult son Jesse in tow because he really wanted to see Norway, and he tells me he'll be moving there when he's a wealthy and famous musician. I say, get on with it, son, so you can support me. I could really learn to love retirement, I'm sure. Oslo is a very cultured city with lots of many attractions, but I was not prepared or expecting the one that Vivaldi found. Just outside the Oslo train station, on the plaza between it and the Opera House,
is a 20-foot bronze statue of a tiger. Vivaldi is Mr. Mellow, and I rarely, if ever, see him get rattled. However, this tiger must have given him the eye, because the minute we got within 30 feet, Vivaldi let out a guttural growl and started lunging at this statuesque, albeit completely not moving, tiger. I was a bit panicked, till my son Jesse told me that the tiger did not pose an imminent threat, and at which point I too had to guffaw at the absurdity of the situation. Vivaldi would not cease his growling until we were well away from this tiger statue, where I guess he felt he no longer needed to protect me. At no other time, checking out a huge ski jump, Viking longboats, the hallowed halls of the Nobel Peace Prize Museum, was Vivaldi so animated. I shudder to think what might happen if we ever encounter a statue of Godzilla. After our meeting at the Norwegian Library for the Blind, we flew across the Skagerrak Strait in the North Sea to Copenhagen, Denmark, where we played tourists. Vivaldi truly appreciated the Rosenborg Castle's gardens and gazebo, but he was less keen on the Royal Jewels collection, probably because they're not edible. He also enjoyed a boat tour of the harbor and, unlike Oslo, did not feel threatened by the Little Mermaid statue. These are just a few off-peak incidents I recall specific to Vivaldi's sphere of influence, what I call the Valdiverse. There are, of course, many other memories I possess of great meals, great people, music performances, architecture, libraries, and more. Vivaldi is always there to guide me, whether in the streets of Oslo, the left bank of Paris, or through the halls of the Chicago McCormick Convention Center, at the Round Tower in Copenhagen, in state capitals, along Pismo Beach, at the Stasi Museum in Leipzig, along the Oslo waterfront, in the nightclubs of Cambridge, Massachusetts, around an alligator pond at the University of Florida in Gainesville, at the recent Women's and Social Justice March in Atlanta, and on the Belle of Louisville steamboat in Kentucky. Always steady, always ready to seize the day or night. Like all guides, he likes his leisure time and enjoys speed loops around the hotel room after a long day of work, or getting a well-deserved belly rub from the admirers. I look forward to many more years of adventures with my valuable, venerable, and vivacious Vivaldi. Thank you.
That is fabulous. I'm going to give this back to Alice, and I need the mic then for him. No, you did great. Hold on.
Hang on, Mike.
But we still need to...
Mike, hang on. Okay, so we have time for two questions. And so what we'll do is we'll have a volunteer run the mic for two questions, and then we can repeat the question to Mike, and then we'll put the mic up to Mike so he can talk back. Okay, so...
I'll just ask you, Alice. Here you go. Did he have any travel sickness with the dog?
Okay, so Mike, can you hear me? Okay.
Hold on. I'll turn this. Go ahead, Alice.
So one question came is, did you have any travel sickness issues with your dog?
We need the mic.
Got it right there.
Hold on.
Yeah, sorry. How many travel fitness something?
Oh, no.
Seven. Did you have any travel sickness issues with your dog?
Oh, good question. Nothing major. I mean, I've had a few minor things where Vivaldi ate something off the street and, you know, maybe vomited a little bit, but nothing that incapacitated him. So I guess I've been very lucky that way. And like I say, landing on his feet after flying over a 6-foot jump was he stayed intact. So, so far, so good.
That was a good question because we're all eating lunch, Mike.
Mike, my other question is, there's a fear of drinking water in a lot of different countries. How did you deal with that, with water for your dog? Well, and for yourself, right?
Can someone repeat that?
Yeah, she wanted to know with the water situation in other countries, how did you find that for both yourself and for Vivaldi?
Right. Really, those are great questions. Yeah, I researched ahead of time about your, I assume she's talking about the drinking water potability and quality so as to not induce illness. Yeah, so in Europe, it's pretty innocuous and pretty safe, and the other thing is that bottled water has become a phenomenon throughout the world. And even though it's probably just repackaged tap water, but that's another topic. The places I've been to were safe. Now, I've also traveled to other countries but where I did not take Vivaldi with me, where that was an issue, and I'm thinking parts of South Africa and most recently Egypt, where I myself got food poisoning. So I'm glad Vivaldi wasn't with me. I think, you know, most of the first world, so to speak, for lack of a better term, is a pretty safe bet. But it's a really good question, and you should always have medicine on hand, or at least know how to find a veterinarian, which exists in most of the big cities of Europe.
One sec.
So, Mike, I don't know if you can hear me. Okay. So, Mike, we thank you for taking time out of your board meeting and separating yourself from the group for this. And we applaud you for your travels and for your presentation. So thanks very much. We're gonna sign off and enjoy the rest of your day. Okay, so what we're going to do right before we hear our guide dog school reports is we're going to do one of our raffles. Is that good, Charlie?
That's fine.
All right. So
we don't have tickets.
Oh. Well, no, we have tickets. The volunteers.
Volunteers were supposed to give us tickets too.
Because, but we can.
But that's okay. We can draw for another one, guys. All right.
They're coming.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now that our front table is happy, how about if you, the volunteer, if you can just pull out one of the tickets and call out the what?
Okay, what I want to mention is we have 18 prizes and not a lot of time. So when we start calling prizes, please look at your tickets quickly because they're in Braille. And we'll go da-da-da for a couple of minutes while we're finishing at the head tables. If you need help, get somebody to read it to you now.
We're only going to do one now,
Shirley. Yeah, we're only doing one now. Then we're going to have a couple of... If you didn't get a ticket, raise your hand. He didn't get a ticket. Okay. All right.
Do you have one on it? No.
Or just stir them with your hand. I don't care. I always like to stir them up because otherwise the last ticket on usually is the first one picked up. You know, it's a layer thing. Okay, go ahead and pick one up. Okay, read the number.
573-264.
264. All right. Okay, the last four numbers is 3, 2. Oh, I'm reading the wrong one. She's got it. I was going to read your mind. 3, 2, 6, 4. Okay. All right, I'll turn this back over to Alice.
Okay, so for the folks that, for our wonderful representatives from the Guide Dog Schools, if you can make sure that you're not eating your dessert right now. So what we'll hear first, our reports, we're good for today. Our lunch goes to 1:15, folks, so we have plenty of time. So for Guide Dogs of America, if you will be so kind to come up to the front, grab the mic, and then give us a 5-minute report for your program. Yes, you do.
All right, guys, I'm one of the instructors at Guide Dogs America. My name is Sean Childs. Sorry. I'm used to just talking loud. So we've had quite a bit of changes and as we've been going over the last couple months and years. If you guys didn't know, our president retired, Dale Hartford. And we have a new president as of the first of this year, who is Russ Gitlin, which he's a great guy. He's very personable and is trying to get to meet all of our students that come through. And then also we just completed our newest building, our visitor education center. They're starting to utilize it. They have tons of people that are moving from what used to be our front office, which for our graduates, that's no longer our front office. But they're getting moved to the other end, and there's going to be quite a bit of happening going on there. They've hosted several events in it, including a couple graduations, and our canine development classes will be in there also. We have actually, some of you guys may know, we have an apprentice who's now in her year and a half, Alejandra Maldonado. And then we just hired a newest apprentice, Kelsey, and I forget her last name. But she's brand new, only three weeks in, and she's looking forward to having a lot of fun. Oh.
Yes, it's Sean.
Sean, can you walk the bike over?
I can. Where's she at? Oh, there she is.
Right here.
Patty, there you go. There you go. Yeah. No problem.
Okay. What? Up here? Oh, there you go. Is that good? Okay. So I'm Patty Robitaille from Guide Dogs for the Blind, and we are also going through some really big changes in our program. We have changed in regards to puppies a lot. We are under construction in San Rafael right now for a really big puppy birthing center, as well as a big veterinarian clinic and some play areas for the dogs and some bathing areas as well, and it's just kind of going on, and it's really impressive to see it and to see those little cute, wonderful dogs going to take advantage of that. We also are looking at a little bit different way of possibly lessening our weight for dogs. It used to be a year. The wait list was quite long. It still is pretty long, but there's some new strategies in place for the apprenticeships for people that are almost finished with their O&M and training certifications. so that they're giving some on-the-job training to some apprentices so that we can hopefully train more puppies a little faster because our staff will be greater. But other than that, the whole philosophy of GDB is the same. Everybody loves the dogs, loves the puppy raiser, loves everybody involved in the process of getting us the best dogs that we can have. So that's about it.
Okay, this is, my name's Melissa Smith. I'm with Guiding Eyes out of Yorktown Heights, New York. I'm actually a field rep based out of Denver, Colorado, and I service kind of the Northwest and all of California. Quite a few exciting things going on at Guiding Eyes. We are obviously increasing our staff as well. We're currently providing about 40 in-home trainings now. Through our home training program and our special needs program, we serve deaf, blind, and other and multiple disabilities as well. No wheelchair program. We are also having the first of its kind continuing education seminar for graduates in 2 weeks out near the school at a hotel. We've got about 80 graduates coming. We've got 40 raisers, and we're just putting on a 3-day workshop seminar to kind of further handler skills, give them more knowledge, distraction workshops, all kinds of fun stuff. So this is something we hope to continue with on a 2 to 3 year basis. This year we're probably going to put out about 160 guides. We are building up our staff and hoping to put out about 175 teams by 2020. And one of our newest exciting programs is our running guide program, something that's always been very taboo. You don't run with a guide dog, it's not safe. But this is something we've developed to where, you know, people who are more active and want to get out on bike trails or open roads in parks, even hiking. You know, if you're late to work, we still say you can't run through the streets of New York to be on time. This is purely to get out and exercise and have some, you know, enjoyable time with your dog. We actually have a modified harness to allow the dog's shoulder movement to pull out a little bit more, so that's kind of nice as well. And we've currently got 10 running guide graduates with about 15 more in the pipeline. So people are pretty excited about it. Okay. Who gets the mic next?
Yes, no, I was kidding. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having me. And I also want to congratulate you all on the passing of the bill that was passed earlier. Yay! I actually don't have a whole lot to say because not much has changed. So sometimes no news is good news, right? Like everybody has said, a lot of folks have retired over the last year or so. Folks have had started families and have decided not to come back and those kinds of things. So we have a plethora of new instructors starting their apprenticeship programs in various stages of that. So for those of you who are coming back in the next year or two, we'll see a lot of new faces. We have also hired Ellen, and I'm drawing a blank on her last name. She was an instructor for us for several years, was one of those folks who decided to start a family. Her children are now grown and out of the house, for the most part, and she has come back to do our applicant interviews that are part of our application process. So to get folks through that process quicker so that the wait for a class time is shorter. So, and that's about it. That's about all that's new. Thank you.
Okay, so what we're going to do is just have a very brief report from Janine. And Janine is from... Oh, did I miss you?
Yes.
Oh, come. Please come forward. Noah.
I'm sorry. I'm glad you did that.
I want to talk, absolutely.
So, hey, my name is Noah. I'm an apprentice guide dog instructor with Guide Dogs of the Desert. I'm also an O&M specialist. Our staff is also currently growing as well. We have 7 instructors. 3 of them are O&M trained as well. And 2 of us are also apprentice instructors. We are fortunate enough to have Nick Taronis joining us as of March 2016. So he's been a very welcome addition and with a little bit of a replacement for the great Bob Wendler, who retired from full-time working with guide dogs. We have recently completed painting up our campus and our dormitories, so it's looking a lot nicer out there in the desert. All that wind and dust is finally starting to go away, and it's looking a bit sharper, which is good. And along with the lines of buildings, our kennel is also under construction as well. We are expanding that to incorporate some more puppy dens. We've got some new signage around the entire campus that's got some braille on it, so if you start feeling along all the walls, eventually you'll find a sign that points you in the right direction, so that's been fun watching people maneuver around. Most of our breeds that we've got are Labrador Retrievers and Standard Poodles. They make up about 90% of our colony, and we're finding some pretty good success with that. And, yeah, that's about it. We'll end it there. Thank you.
And we're complete for in the room. So we have one last quick report from Janine from Guide Dog Foundation. I'm going to hand the mic to Ken.
Thanks. And a lot of us really have known Janine for a long time. Just a great person. So, Janine, glad to have you with us.
Well, I am glad to be there by phone, if nothing else. So, hope you all have some wonderful weather out there. Spring is finally coming to the Northeast, finally. Well, I have been with the Guide Dog Foundation for almost 10 years now. As of next year, it'll be 10 years on staff and another 10 years as a graduate, so for quite a while. And our update, we wanted to tell you, as many of you know, Brad Hibbert, formerly of Guide Dogs for the Blind, is our director of training. He says hello to everybody, and this is all of his friends out in the area, so hello to you all. And we now have a 2-week training period for everyone. This is very similar to what GDB has in structure, except with us. Instead of going to San Francisco, you get to go to Manhattan. Oh, yeah.
Janine, can I call you right back to you? We just don't have that much time, and it's not a clear connection
right now.
My fault, but.
Sure. No problem. No problem.
We heard that there was a 2-week training program, so we
know there's a 2-week training program.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. Okay, I will let you call me back.
Well, we're running out of time, that's why. But we'll catch you next time, but we appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you so much. GuideDog.org.
Thank you.
Okay, we're ready for those door prizes. Take it away, Kelly.
Let's go for rapid fire. Yes, that's fine. No, start pulling. Okay, then just tell me the number. Okay, grab a door prize. I'm not going to even say totally what they are. I'm telling my volunteers, grab and go.
Okay, last 3 numbers, 233.
Last 4. 3233. Raise your hand, quick. Okay, the next one. 3252. He's not. 3252. We're going to do rapid fire. We need to start running. 3257. Just grab one and go to the. Grab one. 3257. This is. Okay. 3257. We got that one going? We got the other ones. Okay. 3261. Who's got 3261? Go. She's got it. 3253. Got a hand up. Oh, I get it from you first. 3249. You get two pieces. You should. Everybody should be getting a. Yeah, everybody should be getting a thing to go on your leash to that has the doggy cleanup bags. And I'll give you a hint. It comes with a ring, but they don't stay on. I use the key ring. 3249. Raise your hand. Make a noise. 3240. 3240. That's the way to do it. 3250. 3250. At least two go together. Three, two, four, eight. 3248. 3223. Can. Somebody come and. Okay. All right. 3263.
Yay.
3224. 3224. Then, yeah, end of our table. End of the head table. 3258.
Yay!
Do I know how to do this? 3231.
Yay!
Yay! 3262. I know who that is.
You?
Yes. No, it's not. Mine's 3242, not 62. 3262. Close, but not quite. 3262. Okay, throw it out. So snooze, you lose. 3255.
Yay!
How do we get one without the... by itself? Okay. Is there somebody who didn't get the doggy cleanup bags? Because we have one sitting on the table. Okay, if not, I'll give it out as a prize. 3232. 3232.
Yeah.
Going once, going twice? 3256.
No,
okay, now I have two.
Okay, wait a minute, I got one more.
Oh, never mind.
Oh,
here?
Oh, where?
Where? Who has 3232? Raise your hand. Make a motion. Okay. I'll hang on.
All right.
Now, here comes the big ones.
Okay, say what they are.
And where? Guide Dogs of America got very generous. All the schools contributed to our raffle, the California schools. I understand the others, it's a trip. So the first one is going to be for some doggy booties. These are the ones that will go on your dog's feet and protect them. The number for that is 3239. 3239. She's got it. The last prize we have is one of the dog beds, also donated by Guide Dogs of America.
Who got the booties?
The school.
Oh, Guiding Eyes. She's got a dog. Yeah. Well, she's... Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Now, the last one is a dog bed. It all rolls up. They're really nice. The school gives them out to all the graduates. It's... The first number is 3. The next number is a 2. The next number is a 6. The last number is a 0. Who won the dog bed? Another school. Which school are you from? Huh? Oh, it's from... That's okay. There's camaraderie. So she's a representative from, or she's with Guide Dogs of the Desert. Okay. That is the raffle. Now remember, we do have the 50-50. Okay, we're going to do the 50-50. Remember, it's you get half the jackpot. It's going to be around $100 for the person getting it. And we also have two extra prizes that will be runner-up prizes. One is a talking color identifier, and then the last one will be a pair of gloves. You can put them on, and they have lights in them, so at night you can turn them on.
Okay, and then the 50-50. And last but not least, Vida, our wonderful Vida, is in the back of the room. Vida, can you call out? Oh, she's not there. Okay, so she will be there. So as you gather up your things, and if you have not had a chance to pay your dues, Vida will be so happy to take that. And we thank you for joining us for the Golden State Guide Dog Handlers, Inc. lunch for 2017. Have a great rest of the convention.